like tithing at church?
Yeah.
Kinda.
What's the question? I'm confused.
Hey, this is Kevin Stark from the Toy and Action Figure Museum in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma, and you're listening to the Comic Pop Library.
To another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Lenny,
Jonathan,
Jacob,
Logan,
and we are in our second part of our interview with Vance Major. So Vance, thank you very much for continuing on with us this evening.
Thanks, man, good to be back.
And again, he is the actor in Starship Valiant, a fan film. He plays Chief Engineer Menard. Well, let's shift again to another Starship. You're the producer on Melbourne. So we kind of, in the first episode of the visit, we talked about how the ship was designed. How did you come up with that design? And I kind of mentioned that it looked more warlike. Was that the purpose you were looking for?
Well, we wanted to do something. We wanted to do something drastically different because everybody always has kind of a Constitution class, and to me that's really boring. Even though, you know, no disrespect to Valiant, which I love. Hope that doesn't get fired. You know, hope Michael doesn't shove me out an airlock. But I mean, when you look at it, like, everyone always is like, "Hey, we're the next Constitution class ship," you know, and it's just like, oh, it's kind of been done before, and it's like. Yeah, I wanted something that visually looked like Star Trek, but was drastically different. The saucer section, I had seen somewhere, and I forget where. You know, I'd had that image saved, I think, since like 2006, 2007. But the saucer section always stood out to me. And I never, like, on some things I have a photographic memory and I don't forget. On other things, I can't remember squat. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I think that's how all husbands work. I don't know.
I'm not making any comments because my wife listens to this.
I decline to comment on grounds that what I say may tend to incriminate myself.
That's
the Fifth Amendment.
But, you know, I never forgot that saucer section. I always liked that. And so I took that, and I loved the idea of the warp nacelles, how they had kind of the glow on top. And I thought if they changed color, that would be something that would be really cool. Like, before they hit in the warp, if they shifted from, like, the blue to red, that would be something that visually would show, hey, we're in warp. And that's something that's never been done in Star Trek before. And I wanted something that visually was just different. When you looked at it, you were like, oh, that's very much Star Trek, but visually was different, where just looking at it, you could tell, okay, that's at warp. Even if you didn't see the stars, even if, you know, it was in like a wormhole, or if it was in a nebula, or, you know, just looking at it, you would be like, well, okay, that's definitely at warp. Just looking at the ship itself, it's at warp. And then the body is very, very, very close to an NX refit, because the NX class refit, I love that design, but you never saw that. And had Enterprise continued in season five, the NX class refit, or the NX class would have got a refit, and it would have been very similar to what we have for the Melbourne, except we changed the deflector dish to be very similar to the Ambassador class starship. And the Ambassador class starship, which is the Enterprise C, is one of my favorite class of starships. So we took different elements from different starships, and we thought this starship is a precursor to a lot of different starships, and it's also got a lot of history to it. And a lot of times with ships now, you know, like naval class of starships and aircrafts, you know, you tend to look at ships and you're like, this has history to it, and you can also see what's to come, per se. And I wanted something, I wanted the Melbourne to have that look to it. When you look at it, you're like, oh, I recognize what this has coming, and I recognize what this came from. And so, again, it has a very Star Trek look to it, while being very original to it. And of course, there are some people who are like, you know, why does this, you know, why does this look like J.J. Abrams? Which it doesn't. If you if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't think that. But some people, you know, it's very controversial in some aspects, but. You know, again, you have to wait and see what we're doing with it before you actually judge it, you know, so.
Okay.
But it's very much a warship.
No, this is the internet age. I will judge you before I see it.
Exactly. You are judge, jury, and executioner. Exactly. I completely get it.
So I have a question, and maybe it was addressed the last time you were on and I wasn't here.
Sure.
Why Melbourne? Why, I mean, just because we all are Aussies and we like them, or just, you know, through a dart at the map, and that's what it landed on.
Well, the like I said last time we were talking, Jeremy and I came off of Starship Defiance with Brian Anglin. We never cared for that name per se, because Defiance sounds so much like Defiant.
Right.
And we, you know, that Defiance was his name, and we didn't want that, you know, because, hey, we're doing something different. To me, I always liked the name Melbourne, because when Commander Riker was offered his own ship in Best of Both Worlds, to me, I was like, you know, that sounds to me like a ship that has history to it. And again, when they go through Wolf 359, that's one of the ships that they kind of pause on, and he says, you know, she says, the Crazy Horse, the Agamemnon, the Melbourne, or she says like a couple of ships, but that's one of the ships where, you know, they kind of pause and they say the Melbourne. And, you know, it's like, that to me is like, man, that kind of hits home. And to me, I'm like, you know, if we made our ship the Melbourne, it would kind of hit home with Riker later on, because it's like, this is a ship that obviously has history of some kind. Why don't we, you know, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with that. But to me, I was like, stuff where it's like, if it has some type of meaning to it, you know, early on, you know, this has, you know, just kind of throwbacks, you know. So it's like when you're watching, you know, when we're done with our show and, you know, 10 years later on, you're watching Best of Both Worlds, you're like, hey, Vance made a show about Melbourne, and this has nothing to do with that, but that's kind of a nice throwback, you know. You know, so it's kind of a cool Easter egg that has nothing to do with anything, but it's a cool throwback to something. But it's a nice nod for me for Riker's promotion, and then the Best of Both Worlds scene when that ship is destroyed. And, you know, again, it's like Enterprise, you know, Jean-Luc Picard, you know, there was, you know, from Picard's point of view, there was Kirk. Then there was that dude from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. then there was Rachel Garrett. You know, there are so many captains and so many ships from his perspective. So, again, from Riker's perspective, there was Captain Cooper, which is the captain of this ship. So in my mind, it's like, I just wanted to do something that would kind of link up with that, but has no real bearing on that. You know, so for me, that's why we chose the name Melbourne. It could have been any other ship. It has no bearing on my story, but to me, I just thought it would be really nice. But to me, there's a reason why, and this, it's more important, the reason why I chose the time frame that I chose, which is after the 5-year mission and before TMP. That has more bearing on why I chose the time frame than actually the name of the ship. That's more important than the name of the ship. So,
and a little behind the scenes things, you've kind of visited with me about it. If you don't want to talk about it, that
sure.
You don't have to. But the timeline you just mentioned, do you want to mention how you're blending the different weaponry and different communicators and
Yeah. No, it's we've kind of gotten some of that in our advertising. That's completely okay. Fine with that. We're actually with the way we're doing it is we're moving past the TOS timeline, which, in case people don't know, TOS is original series. But we're moving past the 5-year mission. So one of the things you're going to see is you're going to see Starfleet move past the red, blue, and gold uniforms. You're going to start seeing the TMP phasers, you know, the motion picture phasers. You're going to start seeing the uniforms change somewhat. You're going to start seeing little nods to stuff like that. You're going to start seeing progression in the timeline, per se.
Okay. So you're going to transition into the motion picture uniforms? Because I'm sure everybody wants to see those.
those were sexy. Awesome. Oh, those are fashionably designed. They're beautiful. I would say we're cherry picking what we're doing, because that's one of those things that you don't want to have, you know, those beautiful browns and beiges. you can't take you can't take everything from the motion picture, because we're not quite there yet, and we didn't want to be there, because those uniforms are not. Well, I mean, let's just face it. I don't know what the heck they were thinking with those uniforms. But there are some things. What's that now?
It's a sleepover.
Right.
I especially like how the captain got like 9 wardrobe changes during the movie. No one else changed their uniform at all, but he was all kinds of get-ups.
But he was really kicking it with those open chest shirts, man.
They're really rocking out his sex appeal while they still could.
Well, I can tell you, our captain is like 50 years old. If he ever pops out with an open chest, that is not gonna work.
That's not going to be. That won't be considered family friendly. You'll get popped on that
It's William Shatner in his 20s, it's family friendly to have an open shirt.
Right.
If it's a 50-year-old guy, no.
I'm sorry, and I'm sorry, but with like all the fan films, like a lot of us actors are kind of overweight. If we're wearing an open shirt, like no. It's the visuals are not very good. No way. It'll be like those porn parodies that they have. I just don't think, no way.
What are they going to do with that? I guess all the porn shows are screwed. They have officially been written out of the rules, because I know they're there. I know they have them.
But no, the thing about it is, when you start watching our show, you'll see very early on that we're progressive. We're moving forward. And I think for the people who know Star Trek and who love to see the Easter eggs, we're going to be throwing a lot of those in there. And there's a reason why we're doing what we're doing. Very, very much so. So, again, just really stay tuned for what we're doing for the first film. And again, we will be doing 6 films with the crew. They're going to be very much
standalone.
Yeah, they're going to be standalone, set inside their own. And the way to do it, because they're going to be self-contained. Every film has to be self-contained to that 30 minutes, and split in half to 15, 2 segments of 15. Because again, the way it was supposed to be before was it was supposed to be, you know, cliffhanger, but we can't do that now. So it has to be very much self-contained, which means you can't feel like when you're coming into the film that you have to watch what came before. And when you leave the film, you can't feel like you have to watch what comes next. It has to be pretty much, okay, exposition to what's coming, you know, when we start, there has to be some type of exposition to what's happened, or, you know, maybe a little bit of flashback to something, but it has to be pretty much where you're at starts where you're at. And then when you end, it has to be pretty much, you know, nail in the coffin, that's it. You can't feel like you're setting something up. It has to be it. So you can tell a set film, and that's it. So that's pretty much what we're doing.
Maybe the people that came up with these rules were tired of all the cliffhangers, because normal Star Trek episodes, and I'm speaking mostly from a TNG perspective, that's what I know the most about, they were self-contained. And they were. There were very few where they were to be continued And those were usually real big events, like the Locutus Borg, and a lot of other events like that were more than the hour, and they had an hour length in their show, and the original series too. They were very self-contained, and the whole maybe. Well, I was just making a joke, but maybe the people, like he said, he's a fan too, so he's probably sitting there watching these fan films and be like, "Quit with the cliffhangers! I just want a regular episode. Put it in a package and give it to me. I don't want to, you know." I think that maybe that was just a throw-in for them.
Well, and the thing about it is, like, a lot of these films, like they are, well, not films but series, like a lot of them is that they tried to build a career off of Star Trek, you know, and I mean, I'll admit it myself. A lot of people know me as Menard. A lot of me come to me, you know, a lot of them come to me and they're like, "Hey, I know you from Valiant." I'm like, "Oh, right on, cool." And it's not intentional. It's just when you have something that you're known from, you know, that's cool. A lot of people know me from the viral post that my mom had when, you know, from the atheist post when my mom disowned me. You know, again, it's one of those things where it's like, cool. You know, it's like you can't help but be known for what you're known for. So when you have 20 million cliffhangers, you just have a continuing story. So I certainly understand why they're like, hey, have self-contained standalone films. So again, it's like there's nothing that says you can't have reoccurring characters, but have self-contained stories. So, you know, again, that's why, you know, one thing that Jeremy and I had, we have to have these self-contained stories. And you can have one of those things where it's like when you step back and you're like, okay, we have self-contained stories, but we have a collective cohesion to what we're doing. And that's what these guidelines are meant for people to kind of hone their craft and be creative with how you do things. And you can do it. Like, our first episode will not have Melbourne in the title at all. It will be called Stormfront. Mm. Our second film will be called Farpoint. And again, there's a reason why they're called that. And again, it's not because we're trying to monopolize or franchise this, you know, is being taken out of the equation at all, which is what they're trying to do with the guidelines. They're trying to take that out of the equation. They don't want a series. You know, we're it's definitely a standalone film. So if, you know, say, Lynn, you know, you come up and you're like, okay, what's, you know, is there a Melbourne film? No, absolutely not. But, you know, you type in Stormfront, you know, I'm making a film for my friend. Hey, here's a film, you know, the first film I did called Stormfront. You're like, oh, okay, right on. It will be a standalone film. But if you watch, you know, the second film I do called Farpoint, it will be a standalone film. But you don't have to watch, you know, Stormfront to know what Farpoint's about. So, but if you watch both of them, you'll be like, oh, okay, cool. They're both, I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Now I have to ask, is there going to be an encounter at Farpoint? Sorry, that's it. I'll show myself out.
No, but I'm glad you like it. Jeremy and I did that. We are taking nod of episode titles from the episodes mm-hmm. of Star Trek. Like we did that on purpose. We are doing that. Like Stormfront is from Enterprise. Farpoint is a nod to Next Gen. We are doing that from each series because, again, it depends on what happens in the film. And I'm not going to say what exactly it is, but there, you know, for what happens in the film, we're going to take that from, you know, like another one will be a DS9 reference, but it has to pertain to what happens in our film. And again, there's six films, so it will have to do with, you know, and there's six series is if you include, you know, the animated series. I'm not including the new CBS series because I don't know anything about that and don't really plan to watch it unless it comes out on DVD or something. But, you know, again, you know, we do plan to reference each of the series with a title for our film. So, no, you're right on point for that. And good pickup. I think most people will understand, like, what we're doing once we actually do that. So, no, good pickup.
Sure, yeah, once you get a couple of episodes in and...
No, films.
Films, sorry. Not episodes, films.
Right, right.
I'm going to call them episodes, so just be ready.
Right.
One of the things you've been doing on Promenade, your Facebook page, and on your personal page is introducing the cast, and you're doing it in a unique way. You're having them in their, for the most part, in their uniform, but you're designing it like an old trading card, a Star Trek trading card, in essence. And I thought that was kind of a unique way of introducing your cast. But besides that, do you want to mention some of the people that are going to be involved in your production?
Well, Well, first off, I'm glad you picked up on the trading card idea. The thing with that was, like, I really, like, I had no friends in school, so, like, all I had were those trading cards. I loved those cards as a kid. Like, we would always, like, going back to, like, me, Eric, and Jeremy, like, we had those cards growing up. And so when I had the idea for it, well, how should we do this? Like, I sent it to Michael Sylvester, who is one of the executive producers on Melbourne, and just a real hell of a guy. But I was like, hey, man, do you think it would be possible for us to kind of edit, you know, these cards around to make it fit our crew? And the guy knows more about Photoshop than I do. Like, I can barely work paint. Like, if I can type words on something, dude, I feel accomplished. So
that's me too, man.
Right? Again, in good company. So when I sent it to him, he was like, oh, yeah, this is easy. No problem. We can do this real good. So, you know, I wanted to do something because, again, like, I love little things like that that makes us stand out. And a lot of people don't do that. They throw a picture up. They're like, oh, this is good. And for me, I'm always thinking about, well, what can make us stand out? You know, and it's never to be like, oh, hey, look at us. Because, again, I have no fan page. I have no website. I just put everything on my own page. Because, again, it's for my friends. It's for the people who follow me. You know, I'm not trying to get noticed. I'm not trying to be famous or nothing. I want to make a film, and I want to do something I enjoy. And these cards, it's my way of being like, hey, this is something really fun. And for the people who are involved, it's something where they're like, oh man, these cards are cool. Look at me. I'm a Star Trek character on a Star Trek card. How cool is this? So for me, I thought those were cool. Some of the people that are involved, though, on this is Carly Shibby. She's a person that I'm going to be doing a segment with called Pen Pals, and we're going to be releasing it, I believe, this week to kind of show that these guidelines can work. We're going to be releasing the segment of Pen Pals to show that these guidelines can work, and it's basically a thing that we recorded a couple weeks ago when we were on the Valiant shoot. It was after a 16-hour day shoot, and we were all dog-ass tired. And I had asked Michael King, I was like, hey, man, I really want to record this. And I had asked him probably about maybe a week or two ahead of time. I said, hey, I really want to record this thing. It shouldn't take too long. Would you mind? And, of course, Michael being the guy that he is, he's like, sure, yeah, no problem. We can do that, no problem. And, of course, last day of the shoot, 16 hours in, I think the last thing on everybody's mind was, hey, we still got Vance's thing to do. and so, you know, when I finally brought it back up, hey, man, can we still do that? You know, he was kind of like, yeah, let's do it. And so I was like, all right, man, it shouldn't take too long. So I set everything up. And what it basically is it's my character, Menard, sending a letter, you know, basically a pen pal letter to the engineer character on the Melbourne. It's one-sided, of course, because it's me sending her a message. And what we plan to do is, you know, release it, and then, you know, if we'll, of course, follow the guidelines that Paramount has set forth. And then in September, when we're recording, you know, shooting the Melbourne stuff, we'll have her, you know, record her little segment, which it won't take long, maybe a minute or two, because that's how long it took me to record mine. And it's really a fun little, you know, segment. It kind of reminds me of that segment on Avengers when Tony Stark catches that guy playing Galaga. But it's really kind of a fun segment because, like, at the end of it, like, Bishop catches me. He's like, Menard, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, gotta go. But it's really a fun segment where I ask some of the questions that some of the people have asked us, like why the warp nacelles as long as they are, why are the weapons the way they are, you know, it's a weird looking ship, why does it look like that? But I actually ask those questions in universe from my character to her. And then when we record in September, she'll actually answer those questions in character, sending a pen pal letter back to me. But I thought that was a fun way to do it because, you know, not a lot of people do those things. They want to be the most badass. They want to be the most creative. They want to be the most, you know, epic. But to me, I'm like, why don't we be the most fun? Like, one of my favorite film series is out there is the Red Shirt Diaries, and it's because it pokes fun at Star Trek. It makes fun of itself, and it's all in jest, and it has fun. Like, my thing is, you know, you take the material seriously, but you don't take yourself too seriously. And so when we release the stuff, which is under the new guidelines, and it works perfectly, I think everybody will watch that and go, this works fine. Why were we flipping out? And so for me, I think it works really great. And that was something I called Carly up and said, hey, you know, this is, of course, maybe 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago. And I was like, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think? And of course, she loved it. She was like, I'm glad that, you know, I'm honored that you would do this with me. I'm like, well, I play an engineer. You play an engineer. There's nobody I'd rather do it with. You know, yeah,
together.
Yeah, exactly. But that's one of the people that I'm working with. But we've got a great bunch of people on Melbourne. The people behind, you know, both in front of and behind the camera, they're a great bunch of people. We have cosplayers who are going to be doing some acting. We have Nate Bright, who does the makeup, and he's one of the most talented people. And he doesn't get caught up in the whole Hollywood thing, but honestly, he's one of the best makeup people that I know. And he just does the stuff because he loves to do it. And, you know, honestly, this guy, he could be, you know, top notch Hollywood people if he wanted to, but he's just, you know, he's one of my best friends, man. Honestly, like, I send that dude stupid videos, he sends me stupid videos. And I mean, like, today he sent me like he sent me this Krispy Kreme music video where I got a headache from laughing so hard in Walmart, and I had to stop because I was just like, and I love this dude because he's so dumb, but we get that, like, we get each other's sense of humor, you know. And it's like, I love the fact that I'm gonna get to go work with this dude, you know. And it's like, it's the same thing, you know. But, and I feel that way about all the people on Melbourne. It's like, we've been knowing that we're going to work with each other for over a year, and it's like, the fact that we're a little over 2 months from knowing, you know, from getting to go film, you know, something that we're passionate about, it's exciting. You know, everyone that's read the script, you know, it's like, that's what they're passionate about. They look at it and they're like, this doesn't feel like a fan film, you know. And to me, it's like, well, because we've spent 3 months with each character coming up with what their motivations are, what their desires are, who they are. And that's before we even came up with the story. To me, I mean, it just speaks to what it is. You know, and again, it's not because we're trying to be rich and famous or take away from anybody. It's just because we want to tell a good story. We want to be, you know, we want to tell a great story that people are going to look at and go, man, I want to do the same thing. You know, we've got a girl and her name is Dee Dee. We met her at the Promenadicon, her and her mom. They were both at the Promenadicon this last October, which is a convention. Well, it's not a convention. It's more like a meet and greet at Starbase Studios. And she wants to be a film producer, director. You know, she wants to get into the business. But her mom had messaged me about 2 months ago and asked. She was like, hey, you know, Dee Dee wants to be in the film business. Would you mind if she came and stopped by the set, just kind of watched for a little bit? And I had messaged Jeremy. I said, hey, you know, you and me have always wanted to inspire young filmmakers to do film. Would you have a problem with this? He was like, no, why doesn't she just shadow us? You know, if she's really serious about this, why doesn't she just film, you know, follow us on set? You know, I don't mind. And so I messaged your mom. I was like, would you mind if she just shadowed us? You know, I don't care if she does. You know, is she really serious? And her mom was like, oh, she'd love it. And when a part came by that we needed a cadet for, because the girl who was playing a cadet in our show actually had to bow out, and it's only like maybe a 30-second part, I messaged her mom and was like, hey, along with shadowing us, would you... you know, would she be interested in this cadet part for our show? And her mom was like, oh my goodness, let me ask her. And she got super excited to do this, you know. So it was, again, another aspect of filmmaking. She got to, you know, that she will get to learn. And something else, when I went down to film at Starship Valiant, and this goes to one of the reasons why I respect Michael King so much, I had the cadet's uniform made. So I told Dee Dee, hey, when I come down to shoot Starship Valiant, meet me down at the set and I'll take some publicity pictures and we'll get those put up on those cards that I make. And she met you know, she met me down there, but I was so busy with Starship Valiant, we really didn't have the time. And Michael saw that, and he asked me, he was like, hey, what's going on? So I explained everything, and realizing, you know, what she was going to be doing with us on Melbourne, you know, shadowing us and everything, he was like, hey, why don't, you know, since you don't have time for the pictures and stuff right now, why don't you have her shadow you on our film, and she can start learning some of the stuff now? And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the things, like, she was so excited by that experience to start learning that stuff now. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the cool things that Michael does, you know, like, you know, she got to learn, you know, he, you know, got his stuff done, you know, it's just like, that's awesome. You know, that's why fan films, like, that's why I love fan films, you know, cause you get to inspire young people, you get to do fun stuff, you know, it's just a cool experience, man, you know, so.
And you've invited us to experience some of that as well, unless we get cut on the cutting room floor for time restraints. You're allowing us to have some fun with your cast as well, having us down there. And we appreciate... Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm here, man. Oh, yeah.
It went quiet. I wasn't sure. But
the fan turned off.
Yeah, the fan turned off. But we appreciate you giving us a shout-out that way with everything. It's not called the USS Comic Pop, though, so it's...
No.
Spaceship.
But, you guys have seen... it takes place on the ship called the USS Carson, and the inspiration behind that is... it's a throwback to the Wrath of Khan, for those of you guys listening at home. It's a throwback to the Wrath of Khan, basically, where it's kind of a deserted place where the crew is kind of marooned. And when we come on this ship where a crew is kind of marooned, and again, for anyone at CBS that may or may not be listening, very family-friendly environment for as much as we can be. But no, we needed some people to be on this bridge. And I thought... You know, who better than my good friends at Comic Pop to kind of step in here and play some not so lively crew members?
Yeah.
And I've had this in my back pocket for a while, and I am so glad that you guys are able to be here for the scenes. And again, what did you guys think of what we've talked about? Because you know, obviously no spoilers, but we've talked enough about it. You know, when you guys were, you know, here, right, chilling with me, what did you guys think? What, based on what I've talked about, what are your guys' thoughts? Let me flip this around on you. Let me interview you guys. Jonathan,
yes. Yes, sir.
What did you think? No spoilers, but what did you think of what we've talked about for Melbourne? What did you think? The whole spoiler thing that I've talked about. What did you think?
I thought that what you have planned is really, really cool. I think it's a cool concept. And
that space clown is killer.
Yeah, no space clowns. No space clowns.
Sorry, had to get that in there. Everybody that listens will know that reference.
Yeah, but I thought it was a really cool concept. I really enjoyed the idea of what you came up with and reading some of the script, and it was, I had fun with it.
Right on, man. Lynn, what did you take? What were your thoughts behind it? Being a storyteller yourself and knowing what we have, not only for your scene, but just the not series in general, but for the set of films that we have coming, what are your takes on it?
Yeah, for your film catalog? I think that, you know, you're really on to something. And I, like I said, when these guidelines came out, I worried. I was very silent because I'm one of those people that I'm a rebel by nature. So, you know, when you do things a little different and you do things kind of to your own drum, I'm kind of like, I can hear that drum. So, you know, but then with the things that you talked about, I'm really excited to see that unfold in this manner. And I really hope that you don't bend too much to rules. You know, there's things that obviously you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to limit your time frame and stuff like that. But you know what I'm talking about. The some of the heavier stuff. I think it's important to your story. I think your story is very dynamic. It's very original. I strongly feel this, that you could have taken this story and kind of like popped it out into its own universe, just so you can leave it exactly the way it was. But I feel like you can't. I feel like, you know, if you're careful and if you think clearly, that you can make it work with these guidelines. And I think that it's going to be a kick-ass show. It's going to be a kick-ass set of shows that are not a series. They're just a closely grouped family of stories about one particular starship. Really, they're more like, I like to call them an entourage of stories, or a menagerie. They're almost like a plethora of films. But one thing they're not a series. They're in no way numbered, and they're not affiliated with each other. There's no extensions, refunds, or limitations. And I think that it'll work. I'm really excited. Actually, this summer with the project that I have going, I had to make a lot of hard decisions for money's sake. And I was like talking to the wife. I was like, you know, one thing I cannot do is miss the September shoot with Vance Major. I have to be there for that. Not necessarily because you need me. I'm not going to be doing much, but no spoilers, but I'm not going to be doing a lot. But not that you particularly need me, but just, you know, it's something that it's important to me, because I already feel invested in this story. You haven't even started filming it yet, but I'm already very invested in it emotionally. So I kind of have to be there, man. So I'm really hoping that we get invited back for future, you know, if my behavior is according, and I have to say that, I have to warn, a lot of people know this about me, I am an old pirate and occasionally fall on pirate antics, so hopefully I'm good enough to get invited back for a second try. I've gotten to do a little bit of help on one of these fan films, and it was wildly exciting, and this one, you know, I mean, I'm going to get a beyond screen, you know, that's super, super exciting for me. And not only that, just getting to work with you, I feel like you have a very inspired mind, and you're wanting to do really creative, fun stuff. Like while we were there, what Vance is talking about, we weren't just hanging out. We didn't drive 4 hours just to hang out. We were actually working on a project of mine while we were there with Vance.
Yep.
And we did it. We uploaded it on the internet. And by the way, I wanted to mention this. On that project, somebody did catch the War of the Worlds Easter egg. They were like, you're doing War of the Worlds. That's what you're doing. You're not doing the actual story War of the Worlds. You're doing George Orwell trying to trick people into thinking that War of the Worlds is real. And you know, and one of my friends actually pointed that out. He's like, this is Orwellian. I feel like a War of the Worlds thing coming on here. But that's what we were trying to do, isn't it? We that was the mentality. So I mean, I think people see it. I think people are going to get it. And I honestly feel like, you know, you step 15 minutes and 3,700 seconds on a film, you know, I don't think Paramount CBS is going to freak out on you, because I think if they're really looking at the intent of the storytelling and the intent of the story, I think they're going to be like, you know, make it so, engage, do it.
Well, that's what John said. You know, he was like, you know, if we're not going to tell you where to edit your film, we're not going to tell you where to make cutbacks. You know, he said, you know, if you guys are, you know, 15 minutes, 30 seconds in, you know, we're not going to come with, you know, a hammer. it's one of those things where, you know, like I said, if people listen to that interview with an open mind, you know, they're going to hear the intent, you know, and it's like I said in the very beginning, you know, before everybody brought the negativity on, you know, if you listen to the intent of what's being said instead of the letter of the law, you know, it's going to be heard what they're talking about, you know. But then people sit there and they want to nitpick. No. If you listen to subparagraph C, you know, section A, and then it's just, you know, it gets so discouraging, and it's like, I don't even want to talk about it, you know. So it's like, all you can do is say, you know what, I'm going to make the film I'm going to make. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to go with good intentions, and the worst case they can do, cease and desist, and then take it down. And for me, you know, there are so many good fan filmmakers. There are so many good people out there, you know, that make these films that are not breaking the rules, that are not trying to break the rules, and are just fine. And again, they're not going to sit there and say, "Oh my goodness, look at that! You know, look at that phaser. Is that a Type 2 phaser? Is that that's not a, you know, look at that. We got to break that. We got to go down there." Are they really going to do that? Probably not, because it's not worth their time. No, I'm not sitting there saying, you know, you should break every rule to see if they're going to come down there and slap your wrists. But I'm saying, you know, you've got to be a realist. You know, like he said, you know, they want you to make your stuff. They want you to make, you know, not everything is officially sold and licensed, but they're right. saying if you're going to buy it, please buy official stuff. Right. If, you know, they want you to make, because that's part of the fun of these films, is making your stuff. But if you're going to buy, please buy officially licensed.
Well, they don't, for one thing, they don't want you to look like a cheap Chinese knockoff. Right. They want you to look like Star Trek. So if you're not going to build it yourself, please buy the real stuff. Buy American. You know?
here's the thing, too. And you have to be a realist on this. To those people who sit there and scream bloody murder, here's the way you got to look at it. I have a nephew. His name's Isaiah. If my wife makes him a cheap Star Trek uniform that doesn't look like Star Trek at all, but it's a really cheap knockoff, all right? Because she loves to knit. And he makes a really crappy bridge out of cardboard. And I take my camera and I record him playing Star Trek for his birthday party. And I upload it to YouTube and I call it Isaiah Trek. And I'm just having a blast, right? And I upload it to YouTube and it's 17 minutes long, right? And I don't have any disclaimers or nothing. And I don't even know about these fan rules, and I don't care because I'm not a fan filmmaker. I'm just like, I'm having fun, right?
Right.
Legally, I have broken 4 of those guideline rules. I am legally suable. Think about that. Think about that. And he's got a phaser out of Popsicle 6. That's now 5 rules I've broken. Think about that. Do you really think the CBS is going to legally come after me? Now, everybody online that says, boycott Star Trek, boycott, 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 boycott. Think about that. They are not going to do that. So all those people who are screaming boycott, shut up, calm down. They're not going to do that. What is the intent of what I'm doing? I'm just having fun. I'm making a film with my little nephew. I'm just being silly. That's all I'm doing. What is my intent? I'm not trying to destroy anything. So I can't honestly believe that, you know, just calm down. What's the intent? So everybody relax and go forward. That's all you really can do, you know.
And it seems to me, and maybe, and I honestly have not watched any fan films or anything along these lines, so I'm very new to all of this, but it seems like everybody's trying to make themselves out to be more important than they really are.
Yeah!
The suits at CBS and the suits at Paramount have way bigger issues than to go and sit on YouTube
and watch
for their 40 hours a week to decide what is breaking the rules. And if
these are lawyer, come on, 30. Yeah. It's 30 hours.
Okay. 30 hours billing out 80 hours.
Yeah.
You know, if you do your thing and stay close to the guy, let's face it, they're guidelines. They're not rules. They're guidelines. They're going to leave you alone.
Bad.
And that's exactly. The bottom line is this. Like I said last time, you know, if you're not making money, you're not, you know, if you don't affect their pocketbook, they don't care.
Right.
You know, there was a statement made by a certain studio, and I'm not going to say which one, but I don't like the guy who runs it. But he basically was sitting there saying the equivalent of, I'm going to play in your sandbox, but I'm going to go ahead and piss in it too.
Wow.
But that was basically what he was saying by saying, I'm going to take these rules, but I'm going to follow some of them, but some of them I'm going to blatantly ignore, and I'm going to do this, and I'm not, this isn't a Star Trek film, but I'm going to use these ships, and I'm sitting there going, what is wrong with you? Yeah, are you trying to be like the other one that had the money, the $1.2 billion who is getting sued? Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And of course, you're sitting there going, well, someone had to be the first one to try to poke the bear. Well, go ahead, better you than me, because I'm not enough to do that. You know, obviously, you know, you think you're smarter than the one who's getting sued, so whatever. And, you know, no offense to the green screen guy who wants to think he's better than everyone else, but I'm not that smart, so more power to you. And ironically, and he ended it by saying, these are just my opinion, and they could change tomorrow. Well, my opinion is, if you have to say something like that, then probably you should shut your mouth and not post stuff like that.
Right. Yes.
Ironically enough, this morning when I woke up, he changed his stance on things, and now it's not as apparent that he's breaking the rules. Wow, good golly, I wonder why that was.
True.
So again, it's just people who want to have an opinion and act all tough. Me?
Right.
I'm not tough. I just want to make a fan film. So I think your stance on people want to act like they're bigger than they are and more important, you're right. Bottom line is, I'm not that important. I'll be the first one to say it. Ask my wife. She'll tell you too.
It's okay, you know.
If you look at my statuses from the 23rd through, you know, the end of the 28th, like, it was depressing even for me. Like, there was a lot of people who were like, dude, are you all right? I mean, I wouldn't want to watch. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, wow, I'm surprised people read what I say. Like, I'm not going to sit there and act like I don't know that I have a following. Of course I do. But, you know, you're right. We do want to act, you know, we do walk that line of being the, you know, we're the biggest and baddest. And hey, man, we want to have a heart too. But, you know, we do want to sit there and kind of push back and say, no, don't mess with what we've done. I mean, I was very pissed off. I mean, I worked for a year on this project. How dare you take it away from me? I'm mad. You know, I'm angry. Like, how dare you take this from me? I mean, the people who worked under me, the people who worked with me, like, dude, I've created these characters. I've created this universe, you know, this self-contained universe, you know, this little pocket of the Melbourne. Like, I've created this ship. I've created this stuff. How dare you take this from me? Yes, I understand it's your intellectual property. I'm not trying to take that from you. I'm not trying to create a profit. I've never made a dime. I've spent my uniform, you know, I've spent my money on these uniforms. I've spent my money on the props. I've spent my money on all this stuff. I've blood, sweat, tears. I've lost sleep. All this stuff. I've neglected my wife because of, you know, talking to the other producer about this stuff. I've lost family time because of, oh, hey, I've got this idea. I need to call Jeremy right now to talk to him about this stuff. I've lost time. This is angering to have 3 months away, you know, to lose that. And ironically enough, September 23rd is when I'm supposed to film. June 23rd is when these guidelines were released. So exactly 3 months from when I was supposed to shoot. Like, I have a picture of the Melbourne that, you know, has our logo, you know, Shadowstorm Studios. It was a beautiful picture of a cover photo that I was going to release and say, hey guys, 3 months from now, we're filming. This is on, we are close. This is, we're right there up to the deadline. Guys, this is going to be great. And right before I released it, like, no joke, it was like 15 minutes before I was about to release that picture, the guidelines came out. I was like, what? And so it was so devastating to sit there and go, what does this mean? You know, so it's like, no, I completely understand where you're coming from, where it's like, you're so divided. But at the same point, you sit there and you're like, I've got to remain calm, because then, you know, inside your own chest where your heart's beating and you're like, I don't know what to do. And you start hearing the blood in your ears kind of ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And then everybody kind of looks to you and they're like, hey, V-Man, what do we do? And you have to remain calm and you're like, shoot, I'm the one that's piloting this ship. What do I do? You know, and you have to guide the people, you know, and so it's like, you know, but, you know, thankfully everything, you know, everything to me works out, you know, to the people who are still like, boycott, you know, screw them. And they cancel. Those people are toxic people, but.
Well, and I think.
But let me ask you, what's that?
They can boycott and do nothing and they're just not a fan filmmaker. It doesn't.
Right? And that's
anything.
The thing, like, that's
more room for everyone else.
Right? And that's the thing that really bothers me is, like, a lot of the people who are the most vocal are the people who aren't making fan films. Like, that's what it's like, dude, if you are not making a fan film, then shut up. You know, like, that's my thing is, like, other people who are producing, if you're producing and you're mad, okay, I get it. If you're not, well, then shush. You know, I understand if you've donated to a fan film, okay, well, then you're a little butthurt. I get that, because you probably won't get your money back. And I'm only looking at one particular production. Not naming names, but, you know, again, they said, oh, hey, we need a loan for $22,000. I'm like, wait, you just got $1.2 billion. Why do you need a loan for not touching that with 10-foot pole. Again, I'm picturing Captain Kirk when Kirk says in Star Trek V, what does God need with a starship? I'm picturing, hey, what does a fan film need $22,000 for loan? Like, what? This doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, whatever. Not poking the bear with, you know, whatever. Right. Not starting that fight with the fan film. It's all good. They'll get theirs. It's whatever. But, Richard, let me ask you. What did you think of the... What did you think about our talks about the film when we had talked about it? What did you think? What did you think about your part in what we're doing? Because you have a more extended part. You have more extended part than the other two. And then what did you think about the film as a whole of what we've talked about?
Well, we haven't seen the whole script, so we don't know what the film as a whole is. So that was one of my things is how is this going to key into the film? So that's, you know, that's something that's in my mind. So that's got my interest up. Some of the things I don't think you want me to mention that I can talk about off air probably, but I don't think you want me to mention it on air.
Right.
Again, it's got my interest up. I had to go back and actually look at some of the stuff you were talking about and see where it comes into play. It's one of those where Lenny was talking about you can possibly even make side stories if you wanted to. From this, I mean, your realm isn't just captured within the Melbourne. It could go outside and have some fun in some other areas as well. The other part is the grittiness of it. I don't want to make anybody upset, but if I do, I apologize. I'm more of a Star Wars fan than a Star Trek fan. So
preach.
So for me, I understand that Star Trek is more cerebral. All that good stuff. Star Wars is more the action. That's what I'm for. Melbourne, it's not quite, and I don't think, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, it's not quite the J.J. Abrams style, but it's getting close to it, or maybe the DS9 in the later season style when they were doing the Dominion War. It's more gritty. It's more action-packed. It's about the war. It's about the battles. And to me, that always interested me more. Especially with the Star Trek era, you're dealing with capital ships, and to a degree in Star Wars too, and how they actually maneuver and fight. I don't know whether that's going to take place in your films. I have no clue because I have no knowledge of it. So that's where I was interested in, is seeing how gritty it was going to be. Of course, the guidelines came out, so it's not going to get as gritty as what I envisioned.
What he hoped. What do you mean? He mean the word he's looking for is hoped.
But it's still one of those where it can be interesting and fun. Because like I said, I'm a Star Wars fan. I like the grittiness of it, the war aspect of it, even though Star Wars is more of a fantasy than a war movie, though. So that really interested me. And the side deal you have with me just sparked a little bit more interest because I wasn't sure where you were going to take that. So that's got my interest in seeing where you're going to take it.
Well, see, here's one of the things, and I haven't told like anyone publicly, and I haven't told like one of the things that... Like, I am all for the guidelines because of this one factor, which, again, the guidelines don't really change this. It just more emphasizes what Jeremy and I had planned. The things that we set up in the Melbourne, not franchise, in the Melbourne films, we actually have little segments like what you guys are in, to where if somebody wanted to take that and then tell its own little side story, they could do that. And we seed little things in there in the different films, to where if someone else comes along and says, oh, I like that, and they want to tell their own story, they could grab that segment and tell that story. And that has nothing to do with what we're doing. Like with the segment that you're in, when we're done with our film, if they're like, man, I really like the Carson people, I want to tell What's that now?
Call us up.
Oh, he's just saying we're available.
Right, yeah. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Like what we're doing with our story. Like if they wanted to say, you know, they wanted to give me a call and say, hey Vance, I want to tell this story. Like I could tell them, yeah, that's cool. Like that's exactly like no problem. That won't interfere with what we're doing with our story at all. Because for what you guys are doing, there's a very specific story that we're telling. Well, at least with your character, Richard. Right. With the other ones, no problem. But with your character, like there's one specific story that we have to tell. But outside that one element, not a problem. There's only one element that we have to say, nope, you can't touch that. Everything else, not a problem. That one element, leave it out and it's fine. Everything else, you can have it. You can touch it, no problem. That one element, please avoid that. Everything else is fine. And they could take that. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to set things up so that other people could say that, man, I really like that. And they could have the characters, the crew, whatever. And that's what we wanted to do. Or hell, if I wanted to go back and say, you know what? Screw Jeremy, Richard, Lynn, Jonathan, come on, let's tell another story and let's do this. You know, like we could do that. Because again, Star Trek is all about the characters. Like for me, in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, you know, those freighter people, well, who were they? You know, when they got killed, what were they doing? Why were they there? Like, nobody knows anything about them, but they were really interesting. You know, when he's sitting there going, hey, where's my money? I'm like, yeah, where's his money? Like, you didn't pay him. You're a jerk. You know, it's like, you know, to me, it's just one of those things where it's, you know, there's always those little nuggets of, you know, characters that, you know, you could take at any time and play with.
Okay.
But the thing with, like, that's what I wanted with your guys' characters, and again, with so many other things that we're doing, and we're writing that intentionally, so if somebody else wants to take these characters or whatever, you know, they'll be able to do that, you know. So, no, we're doing a lot of things on purpose, again, just like we're planting little eggs, you know, little Easter eggs throughout Melbourne, you know, we're doing those things on purpose, too. So when we're done with our sixth film, you know, which is, of course, you know, independent from the first film, you know, you can look at that and say, wow, that, you know, this was done on purpose, you know, so.
Right.
Well, I think we're out of time, and we've actually gone over, so I don't know how I'm going to splice this together. We might have to drop some of the stuff, but I'll figure a way out. Unless everybody's wanting to go on for a third hour, I think we could probably wrap it up, because you're probably hungry, and I know you got Chipotle waiting. So, but I think we'll wrap it up. We know that you're moving forward with your films featuring Melbourne. So,
yep.
Everybody keep a lookout for that. When Vance lets us know and puts them up, we'll, of course, provide the links. And if he has to take them down, we'll take off the links. But hopefully that will not happen. I think you'll be fine with what you're doing. Well within the guidelines, so we're excited and looking forward to seeing what happens with this film, and I hope everybody else is going to be excited about it as well. Again, this is Vance Major. He's the producer of the upcoming Star Trek fan film Melbourne, and you said it was going to be entitled Shadowfront. And
nope, Stormfront.
Stormfront, excuse me. And it is through Shadowstorm Studios. So keep an eye out for that on YouTube. Keep an eye out on his Facebook page. Promenade will also probably feature it here and there. So keep an eye out on there. He'll keep everybody updated. But Vance, thank you again for coming on with us tonight. It's been a great fun.
Thank you, man.
And that's going to do it for us. We've been having fun. Hope everybody out there has been having fun. Mm-hmm. We'll see everybody later.
Bye. See ya.
The starship flies over Earth tonight, full of new technology. There's talk of assimilation by a different kind of queen. And now I'm here on board and we've been occupied. They adapt to fast staying suicide. But there's a chance, the crew agrees. Fix the timeline, help him hit warp speed. The answer's clear, we have to go. But you say no. Make it so, make it so. Say the words that you're famous for. Make it so, make it so. You're not here to start a war. I don't care if you're cruel or base. We both know you're wrong, and I will stand up to you any day.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.